The countdown is on.
Chest high stab. Here is the gift. Cole Feely bounces to the outside. 25-20, 15-10, 5-4-3-2-1. Touchdown, Florida State. Touchdown, FSU.
Hi, this is Jeff Colhane, voice of the Florida State Seminoles. The new college football season begins for the Noles in just a few weeks. Join us all season long on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 810 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, we have Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. It's been a couple weeks since we talked. I think the last time we had Chief on before you, and I was on vacation, so here we are talking again. Some good news we've had. By the way, no major incidents, right? Like in 2 weeks, no major incidents. I'll take it.
No, it's been very calm, and I hope I'm not jinxing myself.
Hey, I know law enforcement officers are a little skittish about that, but it's okay.
Yeah.
We have body armor for one of the canines, Dart.
Yeah, and I tell you what, we've gotten a lot of stuff donated to us as of late. Several body armors for canines and different things, and also a lot of donations to our Star Foundation. So, you know, it makes us feel really good that the public supports us so much.
No, it's a good thing. And, you know, as you say, when it comes from, it doesn't have to come from taxpayers. Somebody else is willing to do it. That's, you know, my mind, that's always the best, right?
It's
a small thing, but I did want to give credit. I don't know who your social media team is, but the photo of the sheriff's, the jail, basically, that you guys oversee, the Santa Rosa County Detention Facility, with the rainbow over top. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, well, we get a lot of storms up in Milton for some reason, and yeah, every once in a while we get lucky.
that was a great picture. Bit of a, you know, like, oh, I don't really think about that, but all right, I like it. There's no pot of gold at the end of this rainbow, though, just to be sure. Nobody's, like, breaking into the jail to get the money. You had a couple of things happen educationally. One was you guys did the internet safety for parents instructional. Yeah. Is that going to be online? Is there a video version of that people are going to be able to watch in their homes?
Not yet, but we are working on it.
Okay.
So hopefully in the very near future there will be, because, you know, yeah, the parents and the biggest issue we have is we have so many parents out there who have like a 13-year-old kid with a cell phone, and they say, you know, well, I don't want to invade their privacy. That's their phone. And it's like, no, it's your phone. You paid for it, and you can look at it anytime, or they won't give me the code.
Well, they don't need to have that phone.
Be a parent. Yeah, step right up and be a parent. You take the phone, say, you get it back when you give me the code.
You know,
pretty simple.
Yeah, I think I might have mentioned this to Randy when we had him on, but, like, I think what would be really useful is a video not only for the parents to watch, but one that is designed for parents with kids to watch so that the kids can see the dangers and so that they can have a common understanding and like, they can really become informed together about what the issues are. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good idea. I agree 100%.
Scam alerts. People are always, they're always predating, right? But this one, the ones you guys are kind of informed about lately are the ones where people call pretending to be you guys, right?
Yeah, and I tell everybody, you know, ad nauseum, that we're never going to call you and tell you you have a warrant and you need to send us money. Normally, if you have a warrant, we want to surprise you with it. We're not going to give you heads up, hey, so you can leave the county. We're not going to call you. We're not going to do any of that. So if you get a phone call from somebody pretending to be a deputy sheriff and they say, you know, turn yourself in, or you can send money to this, it's a scam. You don't even need to call us with it. It's a scam. Trust me.
That might be, I didn't laugh on purpose because I wanted the audio clip to be preserved for David when he's going to use it later, but that explanation is my favorite I think I have ever heard. We're not going to call you to warn you. There's a warrant for you. We want that to be a surprise.
Exactly.
That's hilarious.
Exactly.
I love that. I don't know if you've heard about this, or maybe even you guys use it. I mean, I don't know. But I read a story about Immigration and Customs Enforcement is either ordering or on the verge of ordering these shock gloves that are like something less than a taser, but they're meant to deliver, you know, a contact, almost like a bee sting sort of pain to people if they're trying to, you know, put hands on and put them in the car or move them along. They're not being compliant. And they said apparently this is being used in some detention facilities. Do you know anything about this? Do you guys use those?
No, we use tasers. But I tell you what, that's actually a pretty good idea because not a lot of people know this, but 90%, I think, was the last statistic I heard of people injured by getting tased is when they fall to the ground after being tased. So gloves make good sense. On the ones you could use them on, obviously, if a guy has a knife, you're not going to go up to him with gloves and try to tase him. But for some people you're just fighting with that are non-compliant, you shoot them with the taser and they fall and hit their head on concrete, you know, and the gloves would make a great substitution for that. You know, just latch onto them and take them to the ground would make it a lot safer.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it seems like there'd be practicality issues. I can get it in a jail because you're not bringing a gun to that fight, right? You're trying to control inmates typically. And so I can get it. It seems like just the practicality of, you know, like, hold on while I put my gloves on, you know, kind of like there might not be a lot of opportunity for it. A taser, drawn tase, a gun, drawn shoot, obviously. But I was just curious if you knew anything. But, interesting note. I didn't know that about the taser, that those are the injuries. So it's actually it's a kindness. It's a form of, you know, safer policing.
Yeah, it's safer for the suspect, for sure.
Right. We're talking to Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, hang on for just 1 second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash with injuries. Fairfield Drive at Mobile Highway. Use caution as you pass by that area. Also have a vehicle crash Fairfield Drive right at Border Street. Use caution as well. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Sheriff Bob Johnson. Now, Sheriff, I don't know if you heard me talking about it, but this morning I've been talking a lot about flock cameras, and I have generally been supportive of the license plate readers because I see the value. They solve crimes. They solve car thefts. They solve kidnappings. They solve murders. I mean, I see the law enforcement value. It's a no-brainer that they're useful. But I have kind of switched. I am much more on the fence now because I'm not worried about what Bob Johnson and his deputies are doing with these things, frankly, or at Eric Winstrom or Sheriff Simmons. I trust our local law enforcement and I trust our guys. I'm concerned about abuses and what happens in the hands of a bad government and the idea of protecting people's liberty to move around. I think they're constitutional, but I'm concerned about the next steps and about preserving, you know, that kind of what Larry Downs Jr. calls that dangerous liberty. Like, I understand that if we don't have them, it will mean looking at some mom and telling her you couldn't find her kid because people complained, but we have constitutional limits on people's on your law enforcement all the time. So where are you at on this? I'm suddenly very much on the fence on these things.
Yeah. And it's understandable. What, you know, we grew up under the Big Brother, you know, reading 1984 and all that stuff.
Yeah.
About Big Brother, you know, basically controlling every aspect of your life. But I would say this, and there are abuses of it, 100%. I mean, you have them all over the country. So there are going to be abuses. But, like, let's just say that occurs at Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office, and I find one of my deputies used it to stalk his girlfriend, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to fire him. And my deputies know this. If it's not used for just official purposes, we will take care of business at the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. But I would say this. It's not doing anything that deputies don't do on a daily basis. The Supreme Court says, while we're riding around in our car, and I have an MCT in my car right now, I can run anybody's tag I want. I don't have to have probable cause, reasonable suspicion. I don't have to have any reason. I can be behind a car and just say, hey, put the plate in, and it comes back with the exact same information that the flock camera does. So it's being done anyways, just not on the same level, at the same speed, and that kind of thing. So I would say this. As long as the people who abuse it are held accountable and fired when they do that, I think I'm okay with it. But I agree with you. If it gets out of hand or they say, hey, let's implement this to where you'll get more information. Because right now, all it does is searches for tags that are entered. So it'll read 10,000 tags in a day.
Right.
But it's only going to ping and bring up the tags that we put in that we're looking for, i.e. kidnapped people, stolen vehicle, things of that nature. So, yeah, is it running your tag? Yeah. If you're a law-abiding citizen, we're never going to know your tag was run. We're going to have no clue. You're going to have no clue. Nobody's going to have a clue because we're not looking at your information. We're only looking for the people that are breaking the law or, you know, missing people, Alzheimer's patient, you know, stuff like that. That's all we're doing. But I understand also the other aspect and the aspect you just said, you know, the government overreach and knowing where you're at all the time, all, you know, and it is, you've got a lot of different things that do that, i.e. you buy a brand new car. Your car is reporting all the time.
Right.
It's got a little black box like an airplane does. Everything you do goes to back to the Chevy or Dodge or whatever, and they sell that to insurance companies. So, I mean, you're being watched whether you like it or not. The only way to fix it is to get you a car pre-1980 and take the tag off it. That's going to be the only way you're not going to get watched.
And so, again, I agree with all of that. And I would actually say kind of the pushback is, and maybe we need to start seriously revisiting all of that stuff, you know, because the idea that, like, for example, it's in a public area, I get that. But, you know, is it good to have not just, say, 200 Santa Rosa County Sheriff's deputies, but to have 10,000 of them? Because, the, as you say, the scale at which it can surveil people is enormous. You know, it wouldn't have the benefit it had if it doesn't have that enormous scale advantage. But that enormous scale advantage is exactly what I'm concerned about. And you're right. Like, your phone tracking you, your car tracking you, people's Ring doorbells, all of that. And what I'm saying is, I'm not taking for granted that those things are good either. I'm beginning, you know, I'm questioning kind of all of that. Because my concern is not, you know, what the Santa Rosa County Commission or what Bob Johnson, you know, Sheriff Bob Johnson is doing. I'm genuinely concerned, as many constitutional things is, we're not concerned what happens in a good government. We're concerned what happens in a bad government. And if Tallahassee shifts and we become more California or New York, or, you know, what would J.B. Pritzker like to do with this? You know, that's where my head is at. And worse people. And the way you prevent the abuses is by preventing the incremental slide towards empowering those abuses. And that's kind of where my concerns are.
Yeah. And I would say this, you know, is it worth it to have the flock cameras? And I would say, you know, ask the mother of, you know, the person we find that's been kidnapped or whatever.
Sure.
They'll say yes. So if you never need a flock camera ever in your life, which is possible, you never need a flock camera, your car's never stolen, you don't have a member of your family kidnapped, you don't, your father's got Alzheimer's, driven off, and you never need a flock camera, you're probably going to be against them. And I'm not going to argue with that.
Yeah.
But for the people who have needed them, and we've saved lives with them, recovered their stolen cars with them, and different things like that, you ask them, and I guarantee you, they'll say, oh, I don't have a problem with flock cameras. So you're going to have people on both sides of the fence.
And that's, by the way, I totally agree. That's the place to ask the question is, are you willing to endure more kidnapped kids, more stolen cars, more unsolved murders?
Right.
Because that is what will happen if you prohibit them. And where my thinking is on this is, we already accept there's all kinds of crimes that happen and don't get punished because we put limits on what government can do when we're doing things the government doesn't like. And I think that's the right, I think that's absolutely the right question. Are we willing as a society to endure more of those, you know, like looking a mom in the eye and say, hey, we couldn't find your kid because of this technology we're not allowed to use, but we also avoid this despotic government having this technology that we're not allowed to use. That's the trade-off, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's kind of like, you know, what they say with the American judicial system, you know, it's geared to where 100 guilty people will go free before one innocent man goes to prison.
Right.
And it's, you know, that's the kind of government we want. We don't want innocent people going to prison. And if it takes, you know, some scumbags getting off, they get off. I mean, we'll deal with them later.
Right.
But so that's the government that we started with. And is it moving in a different direction? You know, some people say yes. I say it is a little bit, but I don't think it's out of control. And when it comes to flock cameras, I think the good outweighs the bad. But if they come out tomorrow and say no more flock cameras, we'll do business as we did back in, you know, the early 2000s before flock cameras. We'll keep going. We're going to still try to solve crimes as best we can and put people in jail as best we can. So it is what it is.
Well, I really appreciate you having a conversation with me about this because I think people, you know, they want to hear this discussion and it's important to have. And you know, I'm hearing encouraging things from you, which is exactly what I want from my sheriff. I want my sheriff thinking about my constitutional liberties and the purpose of our government and nature of liberty in addition to whatever's legal. You know, the Supreme Court can say it's okay. That doesn't mean that it's a good thing. You know,
right.
So, but I know we agree about that. Sheriff Johnson, Sheriff Bob Johnson, Santa Rosa Sheriff, thank you so much for the time, as always, for doing what you do to keep us safe, both from bad guys and also from, you know, even the government itself, which you represent. I appreciate it, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. Take care.
8:25 on News Radio 92.3. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash with injuries. Fairfield Drive at Mobile Highway. Use caution through that area. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you have any kind of a key lock-related issue, Ace Unlocks. Now, obviously, it's their name. If you get locked out of your car, your house, they can take care of you. Okay, no problem. But what they do is so much more than that. In fact, Chris Roney, I was talking to him when we first started doing ads for him, and he's like, Andrew, my biggest problem is my name, because people think that's all we do. But they also do fobs. Like, if you need a second key or a damaged key, you dropped it in the water, washing machine, stepped on it, ran it over, I don't know, whatever can happen. You need a new fob or a new laser key cut, they can do that, just like the dealerships, and cheaper. I know, because I had one cut for my Civic. They take good care of you, good prices. Also, residential, rekeying, installing locks, keypad locks, app-based locks for if you have different people coming in your home and you only want them there certain hours, the app on the phone can do that. It's a very cool new service. Car control modules, if you do repairs on those yourself, they can program them just like the dealership. So whatever you need, if it is lock or you know, lock related in any way, give them a call, 505-7545, 24 hours a day, or stop by at airport and the railroad tracks. Ace Unlocks. Mention my name, Andrew McKay, and get 10% off.
This Tuesday, the Scandia County voters have a choice between the qualifications and politics. The current appointed superintendent model allows the school board to hold an open public recruitment process and choose the most qualified leader for our schools. Going back to an elected superintendent means limiting the field to candidates who can run a political campaign countywide. That may produce familiar names, but not always the best educational leadership. The appointed model also reduces partisan pressure and provides continuity in long-term school policy. And there's a track record of success. For the first time since FOTA's statewide school grading system was implemented, Escambia County has no D or F-rated public schools. That kind of progress should continue. This Tuesday, stand for accountability, stability, and proven results. Vote no to keep the current appointed superintendent model for our Escambia County schools. Again, vote no to keep the current appointed superintendent model for our Escambia County schools. This message is brought to you by the Business Alliance and this radio station.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that's Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry, gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. Emerald Coast Coins on Creighton Road.
Tune into Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than just investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sunday at 1 p.m. Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC, registered advisors.
I'm Dr. Isaac William, a candidate for Escambia County School Board District 3. District 3, tomorrow is election day. That means we are choosing our future. We know it's time for a change. It's time for integrity and accountability at our school board. Don't leave this decision to someone else. You need to make your voice count. Get out and let's finish strong. I'm Dr. Isaac Williams, and I'll be honored to have your vote.
Paid for and approved by Dr. Isaac Williams, Escambia County School Board, District 3.
Still undecided about the candidates for the upcoming primary election? Tonight at 7 p.m., listen to the Gulf Breeze News Candidate Forum on News Radio 92.3.
Oh, come on. This is safe for me, but not safe for the keys.
It's one of my all-time favorite teeny little scenes in the movie Conspiracy Theory when Mel Gibson's going through the metal detector and he gives him his keys. Oh, sure, how come this is safe for me but not for the keys? It's a great twist. I love it. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. At least 7 people have died in Indiana after flash flooding across the state. A record amount of rain causing streams and rivers in the state to flood last week, causing Governor Mike Braun to request a presidential emergency declaration, which was granted by President Trump. Actress Hayden Panettiere, was that?
Panettiere.
Has passed away at the age of 36. No cause of death was given. She was known for roles in Heroes, Nashville, and in the Scream horror franchise. And President Trump welcoming a lifeguard that saved a young swimmer to the White House today, 16-year-old Ryder Williams. He jumped into the water near Santa Cruz, California last month when he saw a 10-year-old boy in trouble. The rescue was caught on video and went viral on the internet. Was seen by millions of people, including the president.
Also, interesting little study shows a correlation, not a causation, between drinking more coffee and having higher testosterone for men. So drink up.
Nice.
The blacker the coffee, the higher the tea.
News. I'm Therese Crowley. The 60-day ceasefire deal with Iran expires today.
Be weighing in on several state and local races, along with a big decision in Escambia County, the school superintendent. Should it remain appointed or become an elected position again? The polls will open on Tuesday at 7 a.m., be open until 7 p.m. that night. The city of Milton warning residents to avoid the creek at Carpenter's Park. Apparently, testing has found traces of E. coli bacteria. Officials say the advisory follows recent heavy rainfall and storm surge and applies only to the creek, not the Blackwater River. The park and its splash pad are still open, and they say the splash pad runs on a separate water system, so there's no need to worry about that. The state's Environmental Protection Department has been notified and is helping to track down the source of that bacteria. Al Perdido Keys lifeguard coverage has wrapped up for the summer after a busy season with more than 9,000 interactions with beachgoers and 4 water rescues. Escambia County says fire rescue crews are still available around the clock nearby, and they've got jet skis for water rescues if they're necessary. Some visitors say they'd like to see year-round lifeguard coverage given how much tourism the beach brings in. L.A. State Agricultural Law Enforcement Officer being praised as a hero for saving a choking child in Century on Tuesday. Officer William Register was working a detail when a couple approached him with their 1-year-old that was struggling to breathe. Register used back blows to clear the child's airway before EMS arrived. Flomaton Fire Chief Steve Stanton says in more than 40 years of firefighting, he's never seen an officer handle a situation with such care. Florida State golfer Jack Whaley made history over the weekend, winning the 126th U.S. Amateur at Marion Golf Club in Pennsylvania. He's the first Seminole to win that tournament, joining past champions like Tiger Woods, Jack Nicklaus. The win earns Whaley a spot in next year's Masters, U.S. Open, and British Open. It's 8:35 at News Radio, and PJ has our traffic on the fives.
Traffic brought to you by Anderson Subaru. Highway 90, seeing some congestion from Parkmore Plaza Drive to Avalon Boulevard. Also have a vehicle crash, Fairfield Drive at Mobile Highway. Use caution as you pass by that area. Also another vehicle crash, Fairfield Drive at Palafox Street. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much. Now our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be having a hot day today with temperatures near 95 degrees for your high. Heat advisory in place with temperatures feeling more like 110. 20% chance of a stray shower overnight, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. For Tuesday, 30% chance of rain with a high near 96 degrees, feeling much hotter. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. Keeping the heat around on Wednesday with a 20% chance of rain, high near 95. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now we've got sunshine. It's 84 degrees in Pensacola, Gulf Breeze, and 83 in Milton. Our next news in 30 minutes, we've got breaking news anytime. And this is Your Money Now. This hour at the opening bell, the markets are mixed. The Dow is down about 0.33% right now at 53,554.41. S&P 500 down about a tenth of a percent, 77.79.57. The NASDAQ is up just about a tenth of a percent this morning at 26.763.891. 10-year bond rate up slightly, 4.708% this morning. Gold price is up 670, 4,444 even. Silver up 33 cents, 65.44. And Bitcoin is up just under $600 at 63,692.59. Looking at those oil prices, West Texas Intermediate up 45 cents today at 82.85 a barrel. Brent crude up 61 cents at 89.11 per barrel. Well, consumer sentiment is down for the first time in 3 months. The preliminary index for August from the University of Michigan shows that fell to 51, down from July's final reading of 55.2. This comes as consumers expressing concerns over increasing prices. Consumers expect prices to go up 4.3% over the next year, slight increase from last month. Anthropic's revenue is up 14-fold in the second quarter from a year earlier. Bloomberg News reporting the jump on Friday, highlighting the quick growth of Anthropic as it prepares for a possible initial public offering. According to Bloomberg News, the AI company reported preliminary revenue of over $11 billion for its latest completed quarter, up from $787 million in the same period last year. And there's a new survey out. It says nearly half of American workers say they will never be able to fully retire. The 2026 Retirement Expectations Survey from financial services company Thrivent says retirement fears are high. The survey found only 58% of workers think they'll have enough money to retire on time. 36% of workers expect to have to continue earning paychecks once they do retire. It's 8:38. Our next news at 9 and breaking news anytime. This is News Radio 92.3.
My name is Trey McMullen, and I'm running to be your state representative, not Tallahassee's. District 2 isn't just another district. It's an engine. Families, veterans, first responders, teachers, and small businesses are the fuel that keeps it running. But every engine needs a spark plug. That's the role I intend to play. Not powered by PAC money, not directed by special interest. Powered by the people of District 2. My mission isn't just to pass laws, it's to connect veterans with resources, connect employers with workers, connect families with opportunity, and to ensure your voice, not a lobbyist, is heard in Tallahassee. On day one, I'll hit the ground running to deliver real, measurable results. Because District 2 deserves a representative that works for the people, not the PACs. Vote McMullen this Republican primary.
Paid for and approved by Trey McMullen Campaign for Florida House, District 2, Republican.
You know those big banks where you're just an account number? Where customer service is a chatbot and hold music is your least favorite song? Yeah, we're not that. We're Penn Air Credit Union. Local, member-owned, and actually built to work for you. With better rates, few if any fees, and service from people who know you by name. So why bank big when you can bank better? Visit PennAir.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA.
4 years ago, Kerry Smith made three promises. Roads before development, fair impact fees, and rewriting our land development code. He's kept every single one. Kerry steered $60 million in roadway capacity projects, breaking ground this summer. Kerry alone championed impact fees so new growth pays its fair share. Rewrote the land development code twice to protect our neighborhoods from flooding. Kerry continues to work with FDOT to four-lane Highway 90 through downtown Milton. Promises made, promises kept. Political advertisement paid for and approved by Kerry Smith, Republican for Santa Rosa County Commissioner, District 2.
Santa Rosa County voters, still undecided about the candidates for the upcoming primary election?
Now we're going to begin with the candidates for the U.S. House of Representatives.
You can hear the candidates for Congress, the Florida House, the Santa Rosa County Commission, and School Board state their views and opinions of the issues this evening at 7 p.m. It's the Gulf Breeze News Candidate Forum with the information you need to know about the candidates on News Radio 92.3. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh. Yeah.
I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, so we were at the ice cream shop the other day on vacation. Grandma was treating, so we were there. And, you know, it's the kind of place where I recognize certain flavors, you know, chocolate mint, I know what that tastes like, you know, vanilla, I know what that tastes like, Neapolitan, you know, cotton candy, whatever. And I saw a flavor that I wasn't sure. And, you know, even if you think you might like it, sometimes you want to make sure before you order the full thing. So I asked for a sample. And I tasted it, and I thought, that's really good. And then I saw another one, I thought, well, that one looks like it might be even better. I'll take a sample of that. Not as good as the first one. And at that point, internally in my brain, I was asking the question, how many samples does it take before it's, you know,
too many.
Petty larceny? So 4, 3, 7, 16, 20. When you go to the ice cream shop, do you do samples? Is there a number that you have in mind for how many are acceptable? If you are an ice cream shop operator, feel free to weigh in on this, 4, 3, 7, 16, 20. I've kind of already given you what my answer is on this, is I think that, you know, one sample is fine. Two samples is sort of allowed. At three, I feel a little like I'm being kind of difficult, you know, and... But I want to make sure if I'm going to spend, you know, because usually ice cream shops are kind of expensive. If I'm going to, and if I'm experimenting, you know, and am I, you know, there is a small part of me that thinks, I mean, at 10, I can kind of try everything. I can have two orders of ice cream, the one I paid for and the one that I sampled my way to pleasure with. So 4, 3, 7, 16, 20, you tell me, I'm curious, how many tastes, if at all, do you ever do the taste or do you just always order the same thing? And if you do taste, you know, how many is okay? PJ?
Those samples are really tiny, first of all, in all fairness.
Yeah, the little spoon makes it look large, but it's actually quite small,
yeah.
Although a good place will give you, like, a place that overcharges you for the ice cream to begin with, you're usually pretty generous with the samples, and you feel like, oh, they're so generous. And you're like, well, but I'm paying for that. Yeah, all right, so anyway.
I usually order the same thing.
Okay.
I might try one. My wife, 5 or 6.
Yeah, 5 or 6?
Not kidding.
Really? Like, even at a place she knows?
And there's a line, and I'm like, honey, let's wrap this up.
That's another issue, is how long do you make other people wait while you're trying things, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so your wife is a 5 or 6 trier?
Yeah, she
is. And then does she pick one of those, or does she go to something she already knew? Like, because sometimes like chocolate mint is kind of like my standard, or, you know, pralines and cream is a really good one that I like. You know, so I'll sometimes I'll try a thing, I'm like, nah, I'll just go with my know what I want, you know, because I was trying it to see if I would like it better, and sometimes they're disappointing. So does she always go with one of the five?
The very first thing she tried.
Okay, so it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. Or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1.
More or less,
one.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. 4, 3, 7, 16, 20. Not to throw a bunch of phone numbers at you while I'm talking about a number-based question, but how many... I actually saw this on Facebook, and I think it was in the skim. Maybe it was something else. Anyway, that you know, the question was, at what point does free samples become petty larceny? Because at a certain point, you know... It does, and, you know, obviously you're paying for it, or everybody's paying for it, however you want to think about it. But I am definitely the sample. I would, I'd go to a good bar that's got a lot of wine, a lot of, you know, beers, and, like, a good one, like, you can, they'll give you a sample of a little bit in the cups or whatever if it's something you've never had before. Restaurants will sometimes do that. I like that because I don't always just, you know, if there's 5 or 6 different ones that look good, I want to get the best one. You know, if there were food, I'm always the guy who, by the way, if I can, I'll order like the sampler platter, you know, like 5 or 6 different things. Cause you know, I don't want to be locked into just one, you know, chicken Parmesan. I want to try it all. So 4, 3, 7, 16, 20, 4, 3, 7, 16, 20. Let's see. Somebody says, I usually sample 2, maybe 3 every once in a while. Is that where you start to feel a little bit uncomfortable? And that's the only limit for me. Like, if I didn't feel like I was burdening them at all and didn't feel a little bit, like, ashamed of paying for it, of not paying for it, I mean, I'd probably try 10. I mean, like, just gives you a mindset. I'm not saying these are the same things, but, like, if I go to a German restaurant or some place that specializes in beers, a lot of times, you know, I'll get the flight of samples.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's usually a little more expensive than getting just a pint or something.
Flight.
But you, yeah, but it's worth it. I mean, I like that. experience. So, all right, PJ's got traffic on the fives.
I-10 and 110 are both looking good right now. Still dealing with that vehicle crash and injuries, Fairfield Drive at Mobile Highway. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. 437-1620. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality used cars. You know, cars that are kind of maybe a year or two or three young, 10 to 30 or 40,000 miles, don't worry. They warranty everything to 100,000 miles or 10 years, whichever comes first, which means that they'll take care of you. But the reason they can do that at no cost, I mean, that's like built into the car, okay? But the reason they do that is because they're only selling you good quality cars. Like, the idea is to get the safety and security and comfort of getting a new car, but it's not quite new. It's almost new. You're going to be the second owner, and they've got a great selection, about 300 on the lot. They sell about half every month, so about half are new, 150 are new every single month. They're always getting in new stuff. They're always seeing cars. You can try as many as you like. I mean, they're kind of like, you know, if you want to sample a bunch of different cars, like I sample the ice cream, sample a bunch of different cars at Frontier Motors, and that's the advantage. You never know what you might like, and you never know what you might dislike. And if you only test drive like one or two, you might be missing out on something that you enjoy quite, and you're going to spend a lot of time in a car. And usually, let's be honest, we pick cars for the dumb reasons. You know, how does it look on the outside? Well, how much do you get to enjoy that? Most of the time it's inside the car. Enjoying or not, the knobs, the buttons, the steering wheel, and the seat. You know, those are things that really matter, and you don't really shop for those a lot. So anyway, go to Frontier, look around, try a bunch of different things. If they have what you want, buy it. If they don't have what you want, send them looking for it. They shop for people for cars all the time. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for 29 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. All right, back to the text here, 437-1620. This is not licks to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll pop, but a Tootsie Pop. But how many samples of ice cream is allowed before, you're a taker. You really shouldn't be. Somebody says, go to Total Wine. You'll need a designated driver after that experience, I bet. It's, you know, places where they have samples. I like that. Somebody says, I think three is the max. More than that is just being greedy. Don says, three samples is a courteous cap unless you're buying multiple quarts. Oh, that's a good point. It's kind of the, if you're buying a lot, you know, you get like one or two per pint. Per order, you know, if you're ordering three scoops, you can certainly have four or five samples to make sure you're getting the best three, you know, for one scoop, two to three. I mean, I like this. It's kind of a ratio-based answer. I kind of like that concept. Let's see. Craig says, I do frozen, I don't know what that is. So you do your own samples. Oh, okay. All right. I don't know what that means. That's a place, I guess. Is this familiar to you?
Frozen Ruiz.
Ruiz. I don't know what that is. It's my good friend
talking
Craig.
About Froyo or
I don't know. It's Craig Heinzman. You know, he'll tell me.
Yeah.
Let's see. It depends on where you're buying, whether you're buying anything at all. If all you do is sample 10, yo, no, you have to buy. Yeah, you can't like walk in and be like, I'll try Rocky Road. I will try butter pecan. I will try salted caramel. You know, after all, I'm just going to go. I'm just not going to have any. Ooh, that. You get your photo on the wall. You're never allowed back. Like, that's really, really wrong. Let's see. Oh, our dear friend Mike Hoyland says, as many as it takes or don't do samples. There you go. Yeah, because you're, like, qualifying, right, in or out. Jim says Baskin-Robbins has 31 flavors, so 32 samples is just appropriate. 32, I love it. No, 30, because by process of elimination, logically, it's got to be the last one. Frozen Ropes. Frozen Ropes. Okay, fair enough. I'm not familiar with them. Is that... Again, I feel dumb. Is that a local place?
According to Google, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, now I have
they open at 12 p.m. if you'd like to
a
try.
A brand new place I have to go try, apparently, that I didn't know anything about. All right. 850 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, folks. This is your Congressman, Jimmy Patronis. I'd like to think I'm a pretty nice guy, but right now, the truth is I'm not feeling so nice. In fact, I am madder than a hornet, and here's why. Social media is harming our children. Kids are being manipulated by AI chatbots. Some have encouraged kids to harm themselves. Others have even committed suicide. You think fentanyl is dangerous? Some of these AI programs are what I call digital fentanyl. They're designed to get our kids hooked. I'm Jimmy Patronis, and I am fighting to change our laws so big tech will pay the price for what they're allowing our kids to see and do. Big tech must not be allowed to hunt our kids online and hook them to this digital fentanyl. We must stop these monsters from hurting our kids. And with your help, we will. I'd be honored to have your vote this primary day, August the 18th, paid for by friends of Jimmy Patronus, Inc.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkenes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Santa Rosa, I'm Jill Broxson Teston, and I'm running for school board. As a parent of four children in our public schools, I have a personal stake in ensuring every student receives a quality education. Our district faces real financial challenges, and we need creative, responsible solutions that put students first while supporting the educators who help them succeed every day. Together, we can build strong schools, support our teachers, and prepare our kids for the future. I'm Jill Broxson Teston, and I'd be honored to earn your vote.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Jill Broxson Teston for Santa Rosa County School Board.
Hello, I'm Colonel Eric W. Shorter, and I'm running for mayor. I'm a true son of Pensacola and a product of multiple generations of public servants. My goals are simple. Vertical economic initiatives, jobs, 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 affordability in housing, neighborhood revitalization, and education reformation. Citywide opportunity is possible, and I'm not guessing. Vote for the positive choice. Colonel Eric W. Shorter for mayor of Pensacola.
Paid and approved by Colonel Eric Shorter. Candidate for mayor of Pensacola.
Getting you up to date as you head to work. Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Y'all gonna make me lose my mind. Up in here, up in here.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
This is crazy.
Oh no, we're doomed.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine.
Here is today's sign of the apocalypse.
So, this is going to seem like a good idea, and I guess it probably is. But when I read this story, I was not encouraged about the state of things. Instead, I decided this was, in fact, a sign of the apocalypse. This comes out of Alabama, WPMI Channel 15, the NBC affiliate in Mobile, says that after seeing an increase in conflicts last year with some of the problems spilling into the community and even the classroom, Williamson High School officials reached out to the city for help. That conversation led to the Safe Passage Initiative, a collaborative effort involving Mobile Police, Mobile Fire Rescue, Mobile Public Safety, volunteers, and other community members. Their mission, to be a visible and trusted presence around the school campus and along the route students take home or to after school activity. That is poorly written. Their goal was to help create an atmosphere for our youth that reduces hypervigilance and other things that would negatively affect them and create safe passageways where they could actually leave school absent of any problems, Mobile Public Safety Director Curtis Graves said. You mean that the kids, it's so unsafe for them to get home that you have to create and, I don't know, flood the area with adults programmed to... Now, I mean, if it really is that unsafe, you kind of want to say, well, good for them that they're doing this, you know, partially with paid government people, but partially with volunteers. But good Lord, how bad does it have to be that this is their answer? Like, that's the sign of the apocalypse. Like, it's so bad that you feel the need to put adults on every street corner so that they can safely scurry from one adult to the next before good Lord. I mean, you know, I know people don't really walk or bike themselves to school anymore very often, but in my day... When, you know, a long time ago when we had freedom, you know, you just, kids got to and from school, no problem. It was just no big deal, and you learned how to be an adult. But I, again, I, is horrifying one way or the other. Horrifying that it's that bad, or horrifying this is the solution, or both. I don't know. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Andrew. Just one spot on the board, and that is a vehicle crash Fairfield Drive at North Palafox Street. They're saying the roadway is open. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
And apparently the safe passage concept is also underway at LaFleur Magnet High School, and there are other places where it's going on, and I just don't know. Okay. All right. 437-1620, 437-1620. James Uthmeyer has responded to the judge who said that the property tax initiative was written like propaganda. I mean, that's a paraphrase, but that's roughly what he said. Is it reads like a campaign ad. The old title, remember, part of this was the title. Part of this has to do with the accuracy of the ballot summary also, but at least the title was originally Save Our Homes from Excessive Property Taxes and Restore Freedom and Liberty to the State of Florida, which we all love 100%, no questions asked. The last part was not actually in it, but the first part was Save Our Homes from Excessive Property Taxes. Yeah, I mean, that's propaganda. That's taking a side. That's, you know, like when they name these acts. This is the Do Better for All People Act, you know, like all the, and then come up with some acronym for it. So he was told by the judge, hey, you know, you guys have to write one that is not filled with political rhetoric. It's not misleading. The new version has to be, you know, straight, basically, you know, florid rhetoric with straightforward wording. So the new one is this is the property tax amendment. The increased homestead exemption, lower cap on increases in non-homestead property assessments. Boring, but accurate. Accurate. That's right. And he said, James Uthmeyer said, we don't have the ability to rewrite the full amendment, just the ballot summary and the title consistent with the court's ruling. The amendment could certainly have been rolled out with greater transparency. Oh, nice to agree with that. Although that's kind of what DeSantis has said, too, that he's only partway in on this because they didn't do what he really wanted. And the meaningful involvement of key stakeholders, including our law enforcement agencies. No one wants to defund our incredible sheriffs, yet there was no discussion to involve them in the process. Yeah, that's right. And there were some other proposals anyway. But the one thing I do like about this is that it enhances the second part, which is the rate at which your non-homestead property can increase goes from 10% a year to 5% a year, although that's cat out of the bag stuff at this point, right? We had the big increases in property values already, and for people who have, like, rental homes, you've already, you know, it's already 10% a year. It's already caught up with the market. Your homestead is probably not caught up with the market, but your non-homestead has, so limiting that to 5% now is maybe, you know, good for the future, but it's not good for the past. Doesn't solve anything that's already existed. So in any case, a more accurate summary is kind of a nice thing. That's not on tomorrow's ballot. That's on November ballot. And the last thing, you know, our good friend Jonathan Owens, who hosted the show on Friday with Josh Newby, the 4-hour wrap with No Andrew, which I thought was quite good. I listened to 2.5 hours of that while I was driving to the Springs over in Ocala. And I like Josh and Jonathan. They both do a good job. Anyway, Jonathan, who has now won his case against the case against him at the Ethics Commission, the one that, remember, Jeff Bergosh, this is all over the text messages. They already had the Replevin case that they lost, and they had to pay legal fees to him, $40,000 for that. And now Dennis Green, Studio 850, doing good reporting on this, is coming to ask for $124,000 for legal fees for Jonathan Owens, which they're going to have to pay this. There's not a question about this. This is a open and shut case. So it's just going to be, you know,
local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
It set up a ceasefire that got blown up and the framework for a deal that got scrapped. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. A memorandum.